agree. Hallelujah. Oh, boy. It's good to be here. I just was thinking during that song, Janice, that's so beautiful. You just sang about this day, what it commemorates, really, is a surrender of Jesus Christ for us. Oh, my goodness. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Welcome to The Rock. It's good to have you here. And it's Good Friday, so everything's kind of lining up. But it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. So we're going to talk about what Good Friday is, what Good Friday means, because Sunday's coming. There's hope. You know, so let's just jump right into it. What's so good about Friday? Might ask that. Why do we celebrate a brutal, seemingly senseless death on a cross? You know, why is that? Many religions, they really mourn this day. It's really a difficult thing that this Jesus would have died on a cross. And what does it mean to you and to me? You know, what's so good about a death on the cross? You know, honestly, that kind of breaks my heart. But this death was different, wasn't it? This death was different. I want to take a minute to pray. I don't want to forget to pray. For some reason, my voice has gone haywire. Probably because we have an enemy. Father God, I just thank you for tonight. I just thank you that we could be together. And in the best way we know how, we want to surrender to you, Father God, like you did on the cross. Father, you submitted fully, completely. You died on the cross for each and every one of us. And I thank you for that, Lord. I just praise you and thank you that we could be here together tonight. I pray, Lord, right now that you'd settle our hearts and our minds. I pray against distractions, Lord. Pray that you'd speak directly to each and one of our hearts, Lord. You can do that, Lord. No matter what comes out of my mouth, it can reach someone's ears and it's your words. I'm so thankful for that, God. Thank you that you want to speak to us tonight. I just pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So what's so good about Friday? Let's look at this point. It's proof of God's love for us. This Friday, this Good Friday that commemorates the death of Jesus Christ on a cross. And really what it speaks of, it's proof of God's love for us. Let's look at some of these verses. You've probably seen this one. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. There it is. For God so loved the world. God loves you. God loves me. He so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, sent him to the earth for us. So that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That, my friends, is good news tonight. That's why Friday is good. And it's just summed up in that one verse, because God is good. And he's done it all for us. It's another good verse. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son. There it is again. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's why Jesus came. That's why there was that seemingly unreasonable death on the cross. Because our sins were atoned for on the cross. Clearly, God's blood was shed for you and I, and our sins were dealt with on the cross. That's why I get excited about Good Friday. My, we're just getting going here. Another verse. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. There it is again. What do you mean? Christ gave himself up as a fragrant offering, as a sacrifice, as a substitute for you and I. That's what makes Good Friday so good. We're living out the greatest love story ever told. You and I are. The greatest love story ever told is being lived out right in our presence. The creator of the universe has included us in that story. And because he loves us, he created each and every one of us so he could have relationship with us. And throughout our life on earth, our reason for being created was to come to know him so we could have relationship with him. Isn't that beautiful? That is the most amazing love story you will ever hear. It's proof of God's holiness. Holy is one of those religious words. What holy means is he's perfect. God is perfect. And we are not. You know, honestly, I think if we could see God, and one day we will, if you know him, one day you will. If we could see him, I really think if all of a sudden Jesus came in flowing robes down one of these aisles, and honestly, I think if he were to walk up right here and I was to walk down and look him in the eye, I don't know, maybe I would just vaporize. It's like, he is so holy. In the Bible, the cherubim, they would shield their eyes because God was so holy, could not look at him. God is holy. God is set apart. God is very different than us. God created us. There's a huge difference between God and us. We will never be gods. There's God, and then there's us. Now, God loves us, and he has things for us that he wants to do for us. But we are very different from this holy God. Let's look at a few verses that talk of his holiness. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Really, earlier worshiping, it just makes sense to worship him. I like this next verse as well in the Psalms. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Really, I think if we really could comprehend, if we really did understand his holiness, that would be the only thing that makes sense. We just tremble before him. Oh my, you are God. You know it all. You know what's going to happen in my whole life. Oh, you are so holy. That word holy, I don't think we have any idea the depth of that, of how perfect and set apart our majestic King, our God, is. He is holy. He is set apart. Another verse. And so I'll show you my greatness, my holiness. This is God. And I will make myself known in the sight of many nations. Then they will know I am the Lord. God is holy, and he's set apart. And ever since the first Adam, Adam and Eve, and ever since the first Adam, way back in Genesis, ever since the fall, the first Adam, there's been this sin nature that's come into the world. And Bill talked about it in Genesis in his creation series. Actually, in chapter 3, verse 6, Bill said, that was the most tragic, possibly the most tragic verse in the entire Bible, in God's word, in his revelation to man. The most tragic verse in all the Bible. Is that, you know, when it was the fall of man. It's when Eve ate the forbidden fruit and gave Adam some, and he ate it as well. They ate the fruit. There's a fall. Ever since then, way back in Genesis, sin has come into the world. And the fall of man continues, doesn't it? You don't have to look very hard at the world and see that sin is present. It's here. It's in our lives. It creeps out. And in the Bible, actually, in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 13, it says, speaking of God, it says, for your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. God cannot even tolerate wrong. His eyes are too pure to look on evil. He cannot even look at sin. But yet, here we are, living in it. In Psalms chapter 11, verse 7, it says, the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. upright men will see his face. We have a just God who loves us, who's holy, who's set apart, who's righteous. And he is a just God. And he must punish all unrighteousness. This sin that he cannot even tolerate has to be dealt with. So, in his righteousness, God gave us 10 commandments. It's nothing new to any of you. You've heard of the 10 commandments. Oh, yeah, the 10 commandments. Those are God's righteous standards. The reason that he gave us those was to turn us to him. That's why he gave us the law, is what the Bible tells. So it would turn us to him. He knew we wouldn't be able to keep all these rules and regulations. He gave it there to turn us to him so that we'd understand our need, our desperation for a creator, for our God, for this holy, loving God. They were put in place for us because he loved us. And we continue to fall short of God's standards, those 10 commandments that he gave us. We fall short in our actions, thoughts, and words. We do. You do. You do. We lie. Steal. I think if we went through the Ten Commandments, for me personally, as I look at each single one, I probably do that. The Bible says even if you think things in your mind, in Matthew 5, it talks about even our thoughts. God knows our thoughts, every single thought, and he judges those. So even when we think hateful about someone, that can be the same as murder. If we think lustfully after a man or a woman, that means same as adultery, even in our minds. That's hard to get past. You can't. You can't. In Isaiah 53:6 says, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." We're like sheep gone astray. Turn to our own way, doing our own thing, putting idols in front of God, other things more important than God. Day in, day out, we put idols in front of God, no matter what it is, whether it's an addiction. It could even be our families. Put our families ahead of God. Those become idols. You know, even as little children, I'll try to give you a little visual here. Think of a little, maybe 1.5, 2-year-old that got into your freshly baked chocolate cake. So there's that, and you can see the sin nature right there. So you walk up to the little kid and oh, who got into the cake? What is going on? And mom looks at the little boy, and he's just kind of, and it's like chocolate cake all over his face. And I don't know. Is that a visual for you? I wonder if that's how God sees us. Man, you've got sin all over you. Oh, I didn't do it. What do you mean? I clean up pretty good. God says, I can see that chocolate cake all over. I can see your sin. It is not hidden. God knows that. You know, I'm going to tell you a little story about my life when I was younger. And I haven't told many people this story because I'm not proud of it. And I wouldn't advise you to do it. And it was just a really dumb, stupid thing to do. And I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ died for me and saved me from where I was at. Well, when I was like 16 or 17, I didn't have a whole lot of authority in my life. I came from a broken home, and I was pretty much left on my own. I would stay out all night, do drugs and alcohol, do whatever I wanted. 15, 16 years old, I was just out of control. I had quite a circle of friends that I hung out with. I grew up in a small town in Iowa. Excuse me. And you wouldn't think that, you know, they would have drugs and stuff, but I think it was a hybrid there. It was quite a place. But anyway, there was a festival in my hometown, and I was there, hanging out, partying with my buddies, getting in as much trouble as we possibly could, chasing girls. It was, you have to understand, when I was growing up, there were muscle cars, and it was a big thing to have cars. cars that just ripped and raced, and we raced all the time. We would go out in the middle of the country and have drag races and hyped up fast cars. But a friend of mine had a Dodge Dart that had a 340 in it. It was just it was cheered out. So for some reason or another, I was driving. And there was this particular policeman that knew me well. And he did not like me. And the feeling was mutual. And I didn't have a license at the time, and he knew that. He knew quite a bit about me. But he spotted me driving this car. He saw me driving the car. And matter of fact, in the courtroom, he said that I was 3 feet away from him when I drove past him. And so I drove past him, apparently, and we probably recognized one another. And he came after me, woo, 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 woo. And I wasn't about to stop. And we had alcohol, and we had all my friends in the car, and I just floored it. And we raced out of town, lost him in a bunch of different roads and back roads. And then I jumped out of the driver's seat, and a friend of mine took over. The guy that actually owned the car took over, and off into the night we went, roaring out through the night. And sure enough, we lost him, laughing. He could never catch us. we're such good drivers. We've got it all together. And so the next day, I actually worked for the summer job, working for the local city utilities. And I was in a trench with some other people working. And the next day, sure enough, a police car drove up. And it was this particular policeman. And he said, "Steve, why don't you come out of that trench? We need to talk." So I came out of the trench. I went over and talked to him. And he gave me five different moving violations, you know, reckless driving, speeding, driving out with the license, all kinds of stuff. He wrote them out, he put them in my hand. He says, "I know it was you driving last night. So here's these tickets." I'm like, "That wasn't me." I just lied right to his face. That wasn't me. Like I said, I'm not proud of this story. I happened to have a friend of mine that was a lawyer. And I have four sisters, and they're all very beautiful. And so when you have four sisters and you live in a small town, so all their boyfriends or boyfriend wannabes wanted to be my friend. So we had these guys that were always trying to come and, you know, and just lavish things on me and take care of me, wanted me to be their buddy so they could get closer to my sisters. Anyway, I asked one of them if he would testify in court for me, saying that I was at his house that particular night. It's just this big lie that I continually built on and built on. So we had the lawyer. We went to, I did end up going to court. We all dressed up. I got a haircut and all cleaned up and went into the courtroom. And you got to know that I was feeling angst. Because why? Because I was guilty. And I had fabricated this whole story. It was one lie after another. So we went into the courtroom and we went through all the proceeding. And the whole time I'm just, oh, man, I'm just wiggling. And I can't sit still. And I have this angst. And I just want to get out of there. I just want them to let me go. And I don't have any money. I don't want them to bust me. I just want to go. Let me out. And so we went through the proceedings, you know, and the jury. There was a jury trial. And it was this big thing in this small town. And the jury was out for a long time. And they came back, the jury came back, and they found me guilty on every single charge, you know, and they fined me a bunch of money on each one. But I share that story with you not because I'm proud of it at all, but I think as mankind, that same angst is going on. And many religions go way out of their way to try to look innocent, to try to look good. And you and I, we go through that too. We try to, I'm pretty good, you know. At least I didn't murder anybody. And we go on and on. And this whole thing, I had lied. I had lied in the courtroom. And I think all of us in our sin nature, really, if you look at it closely, we're all guilty. We are all guilty of sin. You have chocolate cake all over your faces. And so do I. We have a holy God who's perfect. And we are not. I don't care how big your church building is. I don't care how beautiful the stained glass windows are. Last year I got to go to Italy and go see all that opulence. And I just don't get it. I just don't get it, other than I know we're not good enough. Period. You and I are not good enough. We fall short, but we try to clean ourselves up. We try to, if I do this, this, and that, and then God will like me. And then I'll be clean enough, and I can take the next step, and I'll be with God. And I'll be this good Christian. In fact, I can put the Christian fish symbol on the back of my car. Look at me, I'm so good. But we're not. I think we have to come to a spot. Honestly, we do. We have to come to a place, you and I, before this holy God, and just recognize we are guilty. There's 10 commandments God put in place for us, and we fall short. And our thoughts and our actions and our words, every single one of us. The Bible actually says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For all have sinned. All means all, and that's all means. All have sinned. You have, I have. We have a sin problem. The world does. Until we admit it, until we surrender, just like, oh, that song was so beautiful. We just have to understand, if we're to be judged by God's standards, Ten Commandments, each one of us lined up here, say God had himself a big chair here, and he's sitting here, okay, you're next, Ten Commandments. Guilty or not, guilty or not, guilty or not. Would you be? Where do you think that you would honestly stand? Where would I honestly stand if I was before a holy God that loves me, that knows everything about me? Nothing's hidden. Okay, God, let's see. Do not lie. Guilty. Okay, God, you ever stolen anything? Well, I'm not past that lie one yet, God. I lied in the courtroom. I'm guilty. Have you ever stolen anything? Have you ever dishonored your parents? On and on. And on. Honestly, I think we could go through all those Ten Commandments and just go, oh, that one too. Oh, that one too. You know, the verse in the Bible, James 2:10 says, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. Did you hear that? Whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking it all. Breaking all of it. So one thing, so only it was a little white lie. My wife didn't even hardly even notice. You're guilty of breaking all of them. You're still guilty. There's that same penalty, that same punishment is due. No matter what size the sin. All sin's the same. That's what that verse says. Sin is sin is sin. Oh, you can't. People have said, I've said that to people before. And, oh, you can't say that. Sin is sin. What about the person that's murdered somebody? I simply told a little lie. I stole a pencil from work. Sin is sin. Sin is sin. And our God cannot tolerate it. Can't even look at it. We all have chocolate cake all over us and lies. We put idols before God. There's lust in our hearts and hate. And the Bible actually says that the wages of sin is death. So what we earn, what we deserve for that sin, that yes, you're guilty of it, and so am I, that sin, the wage for it, what we deserve, what we earn is death. The death for that sin. Say, whoa, are you sure about that? I am sure about that. The wages of sin is death. And there's 100% chance that you and I are going to die physically. You're going to die. I'm going to die. We don't know when, but we will. Physically, our bodies are going to stop ticking. There's a 100% chance of that. And there's also, the Bible talks about a spiritual death. That's simply not knowing God. So tonight, do you know God or not? Are you spiritually dead? That's a good question to ask yourself. Do you know God or not? Because the Bible says that our physical death, when we die physically, we will die, you and I. And when we do, and when that meets the spiritual death, not knowing God, if you don't know God, the Bible says you will spend eternity in hell. Eternity! It's just that cut and dry. When you physically die, if you are spiritually dead and you don't know God, you will not go to heaven. If you know God, you can be in heaven. See? It just changes everything. And God wants you to know Him. And He wants me to know Him. And He loves us. Yes, He's holy, but He loves us. He created us to have relationship with you and me. He desires that. He wants that for you. He wants that for me. In 2 Thessalonians verse 1, 8, and 9 actually says, He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They'll be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of His power. Oh my. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Have you obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus? Have you done that? Do you know God? Have you asked Him into your life? Have you asked Him for forgiveness for your sins? Have you? He'll be punished with everlasting. That's a long time. That's eternity. Everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and the majesty of His power. I don't know about you, but I do not want to be shut out from the Lord and the majesty of His power. Oh no, don't slam that door in my face. No, God. I want to be with You. I want to be with You, God. The beauty of all this is Jesus paid our debt on the cross. Oh, boy. Whew! You know, yeah, it's quiet in here. We're guilty. We have chocolate cake all over our face. We ate it. We took it, Mom. I'm sorry. But Jesus, today is Good Friday. It commemorates what happened on the cross. Is there anybody in here wearing a cross, like for a necklace or anything? You know, necklaces are cool, but the significance of the cross goes much further than cool. Because Jesus paid our debt on the cross. So remember, the wages of sin is death. Jesus was our substitute. He paid for that sin on the cross. That's Good Friday. That's why Friday's good. Because it's canceled. It's canceled. No one else can do it. No one else can do it. Nobody's going to be able to bail out the government and all the trillion-dollar debt we have. That debt will not be canceled. This debt of sin that far outweighs that. Because it involves each and every single person on the planet. Jesus paid the debt. Complete. Whew. Canceled. Gone. Done. Past, present, future. Only a holy God who loves us could do that. Quote by Oswald Chambers, one of my heroes of the faith. All heaven is interested in the cross of Christ. All hell is terribly afraid of it. while men are the only beings who more or less ignore its meaning. If you got a cross hanging around your neck, you got to understand what that means. The cross is everything. It needs to be displayed. It needs to be talked about. It's not something to mourn. It's something to celebrate. Hallelujah for the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for paying a debt I could not pay. Ever. There's no way. No matter what I did, try, work. Whatever you do to try to clean yourself up, there's still that sin issue. You cannot cancel it ourselves. Only the death on the cross of Jesus Christ, because he is perfect. Let's look at some verses here. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. Look at this. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Oh, what a beautiful song that would be. By his wounds we are healed. It was not a senseless death. It was the most important death that ever was, because it paid for our sin completely. Christ's blood in Golgotha. He marched up with that cross, was nailed to it, and hung on it and died for you and for me. I'm so thankful for that. And what he said when he died, it is finished. My lies in the courtroom are gone. It is finished. Our sins are covered by the blood of Christ. Oh my, that is good news today. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. God did. That's true today. That happened for you and for me. The cross is beautiful. Jesus took all sin upon himself, and it died with him. He did it. He did it. It's not by works, not by anything you and I did, not by how much tithe we paid, or how many times we've gone to church, or how many old ladies we've helped across the street, and how good we are. It's not by any of those things. It's by the blood of Christ. It's God reaching down to you and I to take care of us, to wash us up, to wash that chocolate cake off your face, to wash that sin off just to clean you up. He's the only one. There's nothing you did or can do to get closer, to make it right. There's just no way. The verse in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 speak of this. For as by grace you have been saved, through faith, through faith. Let's say that again. For as by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves. Not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It is all God. It is all Jesus. It's not anything that we can do to add to it or help it or get closer to it. It is all by the grace of God. And Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus, this Jesus that came to the earth, was God in the flesh. Did you know that? In John 10:30, he said it. I and the Father are one. And a couple verses later in 33, the Jews were wanting to stone him to death. They're wanting to kill him. He says, why do you want to stone me? And they said, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. You know why he claimed to be God? Because he was God. He was God. He is God. Jesus is God. He's not just a good brother. He's God. Jesus is God. He's God in the flesh. And there's proofs we can look at it. The miracles in his life. He performed many miracles while he was here on the earth. He turned water to wine. He healed sick people. He even raised people from the dead. He fulfilled prophecies from the Old Testament, things written before. He walked in them. He was the Messiah. He fulfilled so many prophecies just walking up the hill to the cross, just carrying it, prophecy after prophecy. He fulfilled things that were foretold about the coming Messiah, about Jesus, about God. And maybe the most telling of all, and we celebrate this weekend, as he rose from the dead. Rose from the dead. Died on the cross. It's Friday, and there's death and mourning. But he rose on Sunday. Sunday's coming. He rose on Sunday. It's not over. He conquered death. Jesus conquered death. He rose on Sunday. He is alive. Happy Easter! I want to be the first one to say that to you. Maybe one of the traditions are to say, he is risen. What would you say? Oh, man! Maybe we are a traditional church. No way. No way. He is risen indeed! That's it! I mean, Easter weekend, that's what it's all about. Do you believe it or not, Christian? He is risen indeed. He is. He's alive. He is God. And that's why this church is here. And that's why you're here, because he wants you to have relationship with him, whether you know him or not. If you know him, it's time to wake up and live it and know him more and run towards him. If you don't know him, why? Thinking tonight, he might be tugging on your heart. You're at least going to hear it if I have anything to do with it. You're going to know God loves you. And he wants you. And he wants to have relationship with you. That's true tonight. That's what Easter is all about. I mean, the eggs and stuff are great, but we have a risen King. Oh, my goodness. You know, this weekend's of all weekend, Christian, we ought to be talking about our faith. Do you believe it or not? Are you just out shopping for grass to go in the bottom of the basket? This is the most important event ever. Oh, Jesus paid our penalty. It's true. We are washed clean because of the blood. Do you believe that or not? He is risen indeed. Jesus conquered death. Let's look at a few of these verses. He was not seen by all the people. This is the disciples writing this, but by witnesses from God who had already chosen, or whom God had already chosen. It says, by us who ate and drank with him, and he rose from the dead. By us who ate and drank with him. Witnesses, eyewitnesses, the disciples witnessed this. They saw him. By us who ate and drank with him, he rose from the dead. Let me tell you about it. I was there. I was a witness. The disciples actually saw that. They saw him. It would never be the same. Another verse out of Acts. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. Continue to testify, and we ought to be as well. We ought to be testifying about this resurrection. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first. I love that they had a foot race to get there. That's another teaching. That would be fun. Also went inside. He saw and believed. So these disciples went inside an empty tomb. Jesus was not there. He had risen from the dead. They saw that and they believed. Do you believe tonight? Do you really believe that he rose from the dead and that he is God and he can save you? He wants you to know him? It's true tonight. It is. So, question's got to be, How can I know this resurrection? How can I rise from the dead? I want to do that. And here's the answer. Repent and turn to Jesus. Repent is one of those words that we look at it and we think all these things that probably aren't the right meaning. Repent and turn to Jesus. Repent simply means to have a change of mind about your sin condition, just a change of mind that, oh, I am guilty. I have chocolate cake. I did lie in the courtroom. I did lie over here. I did do this. I did break the Ten Commandments. I am guilty. I need surrender. I need forgiveness. I need a Savior. That's what repent is, just a change of mind. Oh, and that's what that angst is. And we walk around most of our lives and we don't have peace with God. And there's this angst and there's this empty hole. We try to fill it with all these different things. We try to get rich. We try to have sex with as many people as possible. We get hooked on this. We get hooked on that. And still there's it's missing. I'm still guilty. I still don't feel right. My debt isn't canceled. I'm still dragging it with me. Oh, repent. Have a change of mind. Oh, I am guilty. I need a Savior. And have a change of mind about who God is. That yes, He is holy. He does love you. And He's the one that can save you. Have a change of mind. He's the one that can forgive you. He's a God of forgiveness. And He can wash your slate clean. The Bible says that God, once you come to know Him, your sin as far as the east is from the west. He doesn't even remember it. It's gone, completely canceled, paid in full on the cross. It is finished. No more angst. You can have peace with God tonight. You can have peace. You can receive that forgiveness. It's just that simple. Do you know Him or not? Let's look at some verses. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. So times of refreshing may come from the Lord. So you may experience that cleansing from God. The sins are gone. So you can know God and not carry around that bag of weights, that sin, that dirty chocolate face. It washes us clean. Like this verse, what we simply need to do is repent and acknowledge that we need forgiveness. Please forgive me, God. Please forgive me. You are God. You can do that. And then you place your trust in Him alone. Transferring your trust from yourself and trying to figure out things and make it through this world on your own to God. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Have you received Him? Do you believe in Him? If you do, you have a right to become a child of God. It's just that simple. You transfer your faith. Okay, I believe this. The stuff I'm hearing, that's God's word. It's true. Okay, I believe that. Come into my life. That's the next step. It's simply confessing with your mouth. That if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Is that simple? Yeah. It's that simple. Because God loves you and He wants to have relationship with you. And He died on the cross for you. And if you've never asked or received Him into your life, you can't look at your life and say, okay, April 10th, 2009, I surrendered. I acknowledged I needed a Savior. I'm guilty. I'm guilty, God, before a holy God. I'm guilty and I am in need of forgiveness. I surrender to You. You are the only answer. You are God. And you confess with your mouth. That's a simple, it's just a prayer. What else could that mean? Confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. If you've never done that, if you never prayed that prayer, I invite you to pray that prayer now. I'm going to pray with you. We'll pray, And I'll give you an opportunity to say, to confess with your mouth, or in your mind, to say a prayer to God. I'm going to give you that opportunity. Now I'm going to talk to you after that little time about assurance of faith, what that means. So I would like you all to pray with me. And if some of you really feel like God's tugging on your heart tonight and you've never heard anything like this, or maybe you've heard it before and now tonight God's finally said, you're the one. Let's just pray. Pray with me. Father God, we pray to you. We need you. We're desperate for you. Father God, I pray for all the Christians in here, all of us that know you. We're linking arms right now, God. We ask you to come in power. You're the one that saves. It's not us. It's you, God. We put our arms together. I pray in agreement with my brothers and sisters for lost souls, for people that don't know you, God. Pray tonight you would save some. Lord, you're the one that does that. And God, I pray you'd help each and every person, maybe someone who's just grappling, trying to figure this out, God. Help them to pray a prayer, something like this, Father God, that I surrender. God, I'm guilty. We are guilty, God, for all have sinned. We are guilty of sinning against you, a holy God. We've broken the Ten Commandments. We're guilty, God. I'm tired of trying to say, I'm not guilty, because I am. Father God, we surrender all to you right now, Lord God, because you are God. I have a change of mind about trying to do this all myself. I pray to you, God. You're the only God that can save. I ask you to save us. Save me, God. Ask Jesus into your life. This is the first time you've ever been through something like that. Ask him into your life. Ask him to come into your life, Father God. Save us, God. Save every single person right now that you're drawing to yourself. I just ask that we keep our heads bowed and keep praying. Lord God, I do pray for these people who maybe don't know you. And if you've prayed that prayer for the first time tonight and something's happened and you know what it is, you know what I mean. Just, we don't want to embarrass anybody. Just want you to put your hand on the person next to you. Just put your hand maybe on their leg or on their arm, just to acknowledge that something's happened. I don't know what it is, but something's happening to me. Let's keep our heads down. If there's anybody that's not sitting by somebody, you can raise your hand right now and look up at me. I see you. I see you. You can come and talk to me afterwards. Let's just say a prayer and finish up. God, thank you for this. Thank you that you're saving people tonight. We love you and we need you, Father God. Help us from this point on figure out what you're showing us. Pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. God is at work here. He's in the business of saving people. And we can have an assurance of faith here. And I want you to understand this, what an assurance of faith is. Meaning that if you genuinely did, on April 10th, 2009, pray and ask Jesus into your life, that the assurance of faith is, if you were to die tonight, you'd be in heaven for eternity. You would not go to hell. And if for all of us Christians who know God, we need to understand that's not going to be taken away from us, ever. That's another reason to say Happy Easter. Ever, ever. Look at this verse, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has, it's a past tense, has eternal life and will not be condemned. Will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Hallelujah. He has. If that happened to you tonight, you have crossed over from death to life. No one can ever take that away from you. And Christians, we need to understand that. We need to meditate on this verse. You know, if your walk in this Christian life is just getting kind of, I don't know, kind of flat, you need to understand. You have eternal life. There's a responsibility that comes with that. Tell people, tell your family. Get in this kingdom building business. Live life like it was intended. Live life like it was intended. We need to help each other in that. Keep each other encouraged. Keep each other fired up. And if, as a new believer tonight, I know there's some of you, this is true for you right now. Look at this verse as well. And you also, this is in Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. That was tonight, baby. The gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Hallelujah. You know what happened? God so loved the world that he gave. And his Holy Spirit comes and lives inside us. Everything changes. That angst, God is going to help you with that. He's going to help you walk away from that guilty feeling of your sin. Because it's forgiven. It's forgiven. Once you turn to him and ask him in your life, it's forgiven. It's paid for. And we don't have to walk around just, I'm so guilty, such a loser. That's not what God wants for us. He washed you clean. You're free. Everything's different. My lie in that courtroom is gone. I don't even think about it. I'll probably have to now because my kids are going to ask me about it. God is so good. He loves us so much. He wants so much for us. Honestly, if that's the first time, and you need to talk to somebody before you put your head on the pillow tonight. If you don't have this business figured out, you need to figure it out today. You need to know before this day is up because you don't know what's going to happen. Because that physical death could happen at any time. Oh my. Make sure you understand and know God. I'm just going to pray now to close up, and then the band's going to come up, and we're going to sing one last song. Father God, I just thank you for tonight. I thank you for Good Friday. Some would call Black Friday, God. It's Good Friday. It's so good, God, that you loved us so much, that you were obedient to death on a cross, because you knew it had to be done. It had to be fulfilled. You had to walk through that. You had to die for us, and you did. And it's true today, God. Your Bible is true. Your gospel is good news. Thank you that death on the cross was for us for eternity, Father God. Thank you that we can know tonight if we were to die, we'll be with you in heaven forever. I just praise you and thank you for that good news, God. I do, God. I love you, and I thank you for this night. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, next week, continue our Genesis series. So, thanks.